Happy Father's Day, and today on our special outdoor show on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, ocean-going cruises are canceled into the end of September, and the airlines may have figured out a way to get passengers to wear masks on a plane. Details on those and other stories next.
In our Smarter Traveler segment, we take you camping and glamping close to home. And Mark has some tips that if you're planning a visit to a state or national park in the next few weeks or months, hint, do your homework.
Tom, a lot of people are staying closer to home this vacation season, taking to the road. Business is booming at Outdoorsy, the website that is the Airbnb for RVs. And Tom, now they will deliver your RV to the campsite for you. Is that not incredible?
Wow, that's my way of getting it done.
Talk about camping. Rent an RV coming up at 3:35.
The COVID virus has made for a very different spring and summer, and at 3:50, the Travel Guys put on our entertainment hats, and we have one of the original members of the band Chicago with an upbeat song. I know you're going to love it. Everything is going to work out fine.
It's Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We're making everything work out fine. Thanks for listening. Welcome to the show that's all about the journey. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
All I want from them and man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Hello there, my friends. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano, my super host right across the way there, Mark Hoffman with Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for taking time out of your Father's Day to join us. We've got a pretty good show lined up for you here. And, Mark has
a pretty good show? I mean, you know, on a scale of shows from not so good to really spectacular, today's show will be pretty good.
Well, you know, I don't want to get everybody's hopes up.
No, I mean, don't create an expectation that we can't live up to, please.
I do know that since we've been doing the show from home, we've had an opportunity to hook up with a lot of interesting guests, and today's show is no different. One of the things we always do at the top of every Travel Guys radio program is bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And today is no exception with perhaps a little more than usual. Mark, what's on the news list tonight?
Considering that we're not really traveling anywhere, there's a lot of stuff to talk about here. First, up on the top is the whole airline and masking thing. And I really think the airlines have, sometimes it takes them a while to get something right, but this time I think they've figured this one out. Instead of confronting passengers who get on the plane and don't want to wear a mask or whatever, and you've got a flight attendant and maybe the plane's already up in the sky or something like that. So what they've done is they've said if a staff member on the plane or as you're getting on the plane asks you to put on a mask, and you don't comply, they may not ask you again. But in the front of the airplane, they have a list of all of the people who are on their aircraft. So what they do is they go up there and make a little note, and when the plane lands on the other end, they see the gate agent there, and they just say, hey, the guy in 12C there didn't comply on the mask thing, so we'd like to put him on the do not fly list. And then the next time you go to make a reservation on your favorite airline, they say, well, Mr. Romano, it's such a shame here, but you can't fly with us anymore. You didn't wear a mask when we asked you to.
Yeah, not going to happen with me. Yeah, I think that's a tremendous idea. I mean, let's all stick together.
Well, we're in a small area here, so I mean, inside of an airplane, I would hope that we all could agree in that area about the mask thing. But if you do and you think you've gotten away with something, you may not get away with it, because what happened to the first guy who got 86th in that way, he got off the airplane and he was met not by police officers or anything, but just by people from the airline who told him, you have a return ticket with us and you didn't comply when the staff asked you to put on a mask. So here's a refund for your return ticket. and have a good day and good luck to you. And,
you know, I feel that, you know, taking this approach of penalizing people moving forward versus at the moment, because at the moment you're going to have a lot of disruption. But penalizing people moving forward, I think, is a great idea.
Yeah, I really do. I think it eliminates, like you said, you know, you're delaying or upsetting a whole plane full of people. You're causing everybody to have to get their cell phone out and start, you know, recording the event on the airplane and all that kind of jazz.
Right.
So, anyways, I think that is I really do think that the airlines have hit on a good idea there. Disney is opening up their parks. Disneyland is going to open the middle of July. When the Magic Kingdom and the Animal Kingdom and Disney World and Disneyland and the California Experience open, this will probably be interesting to you, Tom. You're a big Disneyland guy. You have to have a ticket, and then once you have a ticket, you go online and you create a My Disney Experience account. And then once
now, is this floor? Are we talking about Disney World here?
Yeah, we're talking about all the Disney parks. It looks like here. So that's what the headline says.
So once you get your ticket, you get online and what?
You get online, and then once you have a ticket, you create an account online, and then you can see what reservations are available. So you have to get the ticket first. I'm guessing you buy the ticket online, and then that's what allows you to then access the information and tells you, because of course the parks are not running up to full capacity. Even if you have an annual pass, they get you in whenever you want to go, you still have to go through this process. So hopefully that will work out for Disney. You know, we've been talking for several weeks about Hawaii here, and they keep extending the quarantine. A bunch of people went to Hawaii and thought that they were going to go out and just play and all kinds of stuff. There was 21 of them. And they got over to Hawaii and started ignoring the quarantine. And sure enough, they were all arrested, and they probably spent more time in jail than they did on the beach while they were in Hawaii. So the point is that right now, Hawaii and Alaska have pretty serious restrictions if you are traveling there. Alaska, you can get out of the quarantine if you've got a test. There are some guidelines and some time frames and stuff like that. So we've talked about them here once, but make sure you do your homework if you're going to one of those two places so that you don't end up on a 10-day trip with a 14-day quarantine, not to mention the fact that the quarantine can be kind of expensive. Ouch. Wynn, the buffet at the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas. Have you ever gone to the buffet at the Wynn, Tom?
I have not. I have been to the Wynn, but not the buffet. What's up? They actually have one?
It's a fairly legendary place, and it is the first buffet on the Strip to reopen. And, of course, you cannot serve yourself at buffets here in COVID times. So what they have done is kind of an interesting thing. Instead of having servers to serve you, what they've done is they've created a menu with 60 items on it. And you can – I'm sorry, with 90 items on it, and they will serve you at the table. So your server comes and gives you the list of all the things, and then you tell him or her, I'm guessing three or four or five things at a time, and they go get those things for you. And then a little while, they come back and check on you again. So that's the way the buffet is working, at least at that one location. So everybody's going to have to be creative. If you fly on an airplane, not only are you going to have to wear a mask, you can take it off if you're eating or drinking, but what the heck? They're not really serving anything to eat on planes these days, and they're also cutting back on alcohol. So pretty soon you won't be drinking either on airplanes. Even in first class, Delta has nixed all of their beverages on board except for single-serve bottles of water. American has done the same. Alcoholic beverages are still available by request on flights in first class, but only on overseas flights in the main cabin. So JetBlue is offering customers, JetBlue, who used to be in Sacramento, is offering customers a pre-sealed bag with water and two snacks. It doesn't say whether the snacks are just floating in the water inside the bag or not, but apparently JetBlue has got a little different idea. Speaking of things that are canceled, the coronavirus has caused the cancellation of the Victorian Wonderland. The Great Dickens Christmas Fair at the Cow Palace that is held every year has been canceled a little bit early. Now groups are being a little bit proactive, I think. It probably saves them money by getting out of agreements and stuff before deadlines, so they're being a little bit more proactive. canceled things again. American Cruise Lines has lost a June 20th departure. That would have been, what, yesterday? Was canceled Thursday night. They were planning on sailing the Columbia River, but a last-minute change in Oregon's reopening plan. Here's the deal. Oregon was at a certain level and decided, things are not going so well. We're going to peel back. And so that cruise line lost the ability to be able to put those people on the ship. Similar situation for me with Sports Leisure Vacations. We have a group we're hoping to take to Puget Sound the third week of July. And just Friday, the county that we're staying in applied for the level that will allow us to be able to travel there and move around in the county and the like. So we're waiting to see what happens on Monday. But again, you might think that you're going to someplace and say, well, you know, they've, quote, opened up. But opened up means different things in different places. And some places now that are having problems are unopening up in order to deal with situations where people who have come or their own residents have done away with social distancing and stuff, and the infection levels are going up. CLIA has extended the suspension of cruising from U.S. ports until the end of September. This creates a really interesting situation because the folks at Norwegian Cruise Lines say they're going to sail from Seattle to Alaska during the month of September, 8 cruises. They've reiterated that they're going to sail those 8 cruises. The Cruise Lines Association, International Association, says that cruises are not going to sail until September the 15th. These guys say they're going to start sailing to Alaska September the 1st. If you are scheduled to go to Alaska with Norwegian Cruise Lines, something is going to have to give. So I find it really hard to believe that the whole Alaska cruise line system, the buses, the tours, all the things that would be there for the cruise lines all summer long, are going to be there for 8 cruises in September after these people have not been able to do business all year. So if you are one of those people, be careful. What's the most important factor needed to get the public to fly again? Our friends at Travelers United say number one is face masks should be required, 42%. Middle seats should be left open, even if I have to pay a little more money, 29%. Planes should be cleaned with disinfectant every night, 19%. Crews should be tested before every work period, 7%. All passengers should be given disinfective towelettes, 3%. So face masks, at least with the general public, is the number one thing. And let's see here. Spirit Airlines has been fined for deceptive reaccommodations practices. Why am I not surprised? They asked for volunteers. And then when they didn't get enough volunteers, they listed the people who were voluntold as volunteers and didn't give them the compensation that they were supposed to get and said, just move along down the road there. But they got caught. And so now they've
got these people.
Go ahead.
They were asking these people to volunteer for what?
To get off the plane.
To get
off
their
plane because they're overbooked. They're oversold.
I see. Okay.
So these folks,
and if you don't volunteer, you could be automatically volunteered.
Well, yeah, exactly. There's maybe they needed 8 seats, and 5 people volunteered, and then 3 people got voluntold that they're not flying on the flight, and didn't get anything more than the people who volunteered. And so there you go. Last week we told you that there were over 3,000 complaints to the DOT as the COVID virus pandemic began, most about refunds. This week we have a little bit more information, a little bit more of a breakdown. Over 40% of those complaints came against United Airlines. They led by far. If you remember, Tom, United changed their refund rules 3 times in 10 days and had people scrambling all over the place and a lot of people going back to the airline and saying, hey, you know, you gave me a voucher and I'm supposed to get a refund and all those kinds of things. So fewest complaints by far, Delta Airlines. United had 653 complaints in this period. Delta had 35.
Wow. That's
so,
dramatic difference.
Yeah, that's like 1/20 as many complaints, 1/18 as many complaints. So that tells you this service-wise, tells you that during this particular situation that Delta Airlines has done a spectacular job, because even American had almost 200 complaints. So 35, I mean, that's why I brought this up, is because it really, really stood out to me. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. Links to our special guests coming up in the next 45 minutes can be found there. All right, let's go camping. Let's see what's going on in the world of camping. And Mark's going to give us some information on if you're going to be visiting a state or a national park in the next few weeks, some hints that you should pay attention to. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
Amarillo by morning.
Hey there, Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we promised, a little update on camping. My daughter, Sarah Turner, is joining us here on the Travel Guys. Recently took a trip up to her favorite campground, the In-Town Campground. And in the past, we have interviewed the folks from there a couple of times. But if you missed that, Sarah, welcome to the Travel Guys. And tell us a little bit about the In-Town Campground.
Hi there. Well, my husband and I love the In-Town Campground. We're not big campers ourselves, so it's not an activity we usually do. So it's just right for us because you don't have to go too far. It's just in Nevada City. And it's also really close to the old Nevada City area. So there's some restaurants and bars and things if you like to do something along with your camping trip. But of course, right now, most people are staying away from each other. So we found that it was a really good first activity for us to do, trying to get more comfortable with getting out and about after being quarantined for so long. So we were among their first visitors there.
How was it in regards to being a contactless activity?
Well, you'd make all your reservations online, and you pay for your spot in advance, so there's no exchanging of money either at check-in or check-out. So when you first arrived, they had everybody's little check-in sheet attached to the side of the building where you normally would go in the office and check in. So you could just walk up and grab the one with your name on it, and it had your campsite number. So even if there hadn't have been someone there, I could have grabbed my information, gone to my campsite and set up without talking to anybody. One of the owners happened to be there, so I did get a chance to talk to her. She stood a good distance away from me, and we were both wearing masks, so I got to talk to her. But yes, it's very contactless as far as getting in and setting up and getting out.
Now, the In-Town Campground is a little different than some. Tell us about what they have to offer in regards to types of camping.
They have the traditional campsites, if you like to pitch your own tent. Everything is site is well taken care of and cleared, and most of their sites are pretty flat, so you're not sleeping on a hill. They also do RV hookups, so some of their sites have RV hookup, and they also have quite a few what they refer to as glamping tents. So they're permanent structures. They're made out of sort of canvas tent material, but they have real beds in them and a foundation and electricity in them as well. Now that they're reopened, I am 100% positive they have full cleaning procedures for all their glamping tents. So everyone should feel very comfortable with that.
Any downside of this particular trip for you?
I think the only thing is, and it's going to be very personal for everybody as they start to get out there back into the world and see other people. So some people are going to feel very comfortable and some people are going to be apprehensive. And plus, masks weren't a requirement around other people at that time either last weekend. So, you run into people and they don't have masks. And, so for those of us that are afraid of that, you can be a little uncomfortable.
Well, there you go. Thanks, Sarah, for giving us an update on In-Town Campground camping as people finally start to get back to a normal life. I appreciate your update. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Here's the deal. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking about another way to be able to go camping that perhaps can put you in even a better situation in regards to running into people or for that matter, having to share. So
speaking
that'll
be of
right
sharing,
after the bottom of the hour.
I'm just curious, did you compensate your daughter for the interview? Because she contributed to the program. She didn't ask me, so I just was wondering, or did you just use your family blatantly to fill airtime?
No, actually, Sarah's always happy to help out and be with us here on the travel show.
She did a good job. Listen, let me share some things to make people a smarter traveler. We're kind of doing a little bit of an outdoors thing here today. Sarah talking about camping. We've got Ryan Quinn after the break to talk about RV rental, outdoorsy, where you can rent somebody else's RV that's sitting in their driveway, or now they'll even take it someplace for you. But I want to talk for a minute just about the state park system here in California. We have over 280 state park sites in California. It's the largest state park system in the country. Not surprising, I guess. We have a pretty good-sized state. And we have a lot of diversity, everything from the desert to the mountains to the ocean to you name it. We've kind of got it. So historic sites and scenic sites and all kinds of stuff. Here's the deal. As people have been trying to socially distance and folks are saying, well, you know, where can I go where there won't be a lot of people? Unfortunately, some of the places that they've thought of would have been places that up until now would have been the perfect choice for not a lot of people. But because a lot of people are thinking the same way, and we also have this thing called social media now, so when somebody finds a cool spot and they post some things and they say, wow, this is a cool spot, and a few dozen people start doing that, pretty soon a few hundred thousand people know about all of those cool spots. So if you're going out to a state park, be aware of the fact that many of them have limited parking. Some charge for admission, some don't. Some have campsites. Some don't. You need to kind of do your homework here. And really, rather than just give you a website, just type in California State Park information into your browser, California State Park information, and you will get an array of all kinds of official and unofficial websites, but things that will give you information on fees, on whether or not you can camp there, how you can make reservations, what the parking lot limits are. If it's a small parking lot, you may need to go there by 9 o'clock in the morning if you're going to go hiking. Or you may have to have a reservation for your car in order to leave it there all day long. So it's really important right now that you not assume that your favorite spot that nobody knew about, guess what? In some cases, because of people's desperation to find new spots that nobody had, a lot of people may have discovered your spot. So it may alter slightly the way that you do things. Also, there may have been concessions there or something. Now those concessions aren't available to you. So just a word to the wise, if you're going to go out and do something in the great outdoors, do your homework first so you don't get there and run into a big surprise that ruins your trip.
There you go. Coming up right after the news break, I'm talking with Ryan Quinn, outdoorsy, another way to get out and at the same time be socially distanced. That's next here on The Travel Guys. Hello there. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are The Travel and Entertainment Guys. You can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. And we're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And it's time to revisit old friend of Mark's. I think he's still a friend if he's been good. And we talked to Ryan several years ago when he started a brand new venture, a website called outdoorsy.com. Mark, I'll turn it over to you and let's get started with Ryan and make people smarter travelers when it comes to RVs.
Well, and it seems, Tom, that the word on the street and definitely the trend among travelers is closer to home, staycations, places you can get to by car, where you don't have to get on an airplane. A lot of people are very nervous about hotel rooms and that whole process of checking in and all that goes on. Many hotels are not full service right now. A lot of them don't have restaurants open or not offering a lot of the amenities. So a lot of folks are starting to look at what are the options. In the old days, you would throw the family in the back of the station wagon and head for Yellowstone National Park. I think now things are a little bit different, but it's maybe not the station wagon. But Ryan and his buddies came up with something a few years back. It's kind of the Airbnb of RVs. Ryan Quinn, welcome back to the Travel Guys, and tell us about how things are going at Outdoorsy.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me back. I think the last time I was with you guys, you were making fun of me because we had outdoorsy.co. So we knew we had made it as a company when we got that extra M, and now we're outdoorsy.com. So I was super proud of that.
So your business, you were telling me before we started here, has literally boomed in the last few weeks. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. And around mid-March, I would say, when things first really started to get announced that the coronavirus is going to be a little bit more of a thing than I think people originally anticipated, we saw a pretty big flood of cancellations. I think as parks were closing, people got pretty concerned about having to stay home for the summer, things like that. So we were seeing our cancellation rate spike quite a bit. Probably around mid-April, things really turned around. I think then it became clear that this was more of a long-term issue. Some of that shelter-in-place and kind of just wait for it to pass stuff. Just wasn't going to scale for months and months on end at home with kids that can't go to school. And so we started to really see a comeback around folks getting out, renting RVs for trips this weekend, longer trips to go visit, you know, grandparents across the country. They don't want to fly. And so they're hitting the road in RVs that have their own facilities, and they can stay safe and healthy while they're traveling.
Now, Ryan, there's become multiple aspects to your business. I mean, besides just contacting somebody who has an RV for rent that they're not using and making those arrangements and renting and using their RV, you were explained to me now, heck, you don't even have to get the RV yourself. You can have the RV delivered. You can even have it delivered to the campground. Explain a little bit about that. That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool program. So what happened was we saw a wide influx of trailers onto the site. Trailers are great because they're a little bit cheaper, a little bit more space in them because they don't have to have the engine, things like that. But the problem is that you gotta tow them somewhere. And so we rolled out some features around delivery. So you can now search the site, tell the owner where you want it delivered. They'll drop it off, set it up for you, get it all ready to go. And then you can show up, treat it like a cabin, and just go home. They'll come pick it up for you.
Boy, that is the lazy man way of going camping.
Wow.
Have somebody literally set it up. That would be my biggest fear, particularly if you went to a campground and whether it's a trailer or an RV, you got to do that dumping thing, you know,
yeah.
With that after so many days.
Well, and you got to drive it. You know, how many of us have driven, you know, a 30 or 40 foot, having ridden on a bus, Tom, for years? The bus drivers are constantly commenting about the RV people and perhaps their lack of road knowledge and expertise.
Same thing with pulling a big trailer. But that does open up, you know, quite a few options for people that don't have a vehicle to pull a trailer. I was looking at your website, and there are some beautiful trailers of different sizes. But here again, if you don't have something to pull it, that would solve the problem. One of the things I noticed, Ryan, that I wanted to ask about and that I know our listeners will be interested in is the sterilization and sanitation regulations put in place and for renting them out. As the outdoorsy guy and the ones that is connecting the consumer with those that are doing the renting, what guidelines, how's that working? How safe am I going to be? What kind of assurance am I going to get that when I pick up this RV or trailer that it's safe?
So this is really important to us. We actually went through the CDC guidelines, and we've created some resources for both sides, both our renters and our owners. Those are all published on our sites. We've sent out education materials to all of our owners stipulating that between the rentals, units are to be cleaned to those specifications. And the response from both sides have been great. Owners are excited because they're able to still make money and provide these units in a safe way. And then renters just love it because they can show up and kind of know that it's been through that cleaning process. And we're just keeping that material live on the site and available for folks.
Ryan, I want to ask you something. Are people buying RVs for the purpose of renting them to other people, or has your business remained pretty organic? It's people who have an RV and 45 weeks out of the year it's sitting in their driveway.
So the thing that we see is that folks will buy that first RV. They love it for the first year, and then they realize that they have to pay monthly payments on it to keep owning it. And that's kind of our sweet spot for getting owners onto the platform, is they realize that listing it for rent, they can pay off the loan on the RV, make a little bit extra, go on their own vacation, things like that. But then once they're on the platform, they see that they can make enough money that they actually start expanding their fleets. So buying that second RV is huge with our owners, and then also extending all the way up to, we have folks now that are up to 30, 60 of these units, just because they started with one on the platform and then made enough money to kind of keep adding to their fleet size. It's a pretty cool thing.
So the answer to the question is yes, some people have used your platform in order to take it one step further and create something cool. We're talking to Ryan Quinn, who is one of the co-founders of Outdoorsy, which is the Airbnb of RVs. If you're looking for an RV, or now, it sounds like there's a lot of different variations. They do have a website, outdoorsy.com. Tom?
I was going to ask you, Ryan, one of the things people are going to want to know is, do you have to provide your own insurance? Is it part of the package? Because, you know, heaven forbid that you might, if you're driving one, damage somebody's RV or trailer.
Yep. So that's all included as part of the package. When you're browsing the site, you'll see pricing per day for insurance packages. You can then upgrade that package if you'd like. But that's all included in the service fees on the site.
So basically, all you got to do is log on, pick out your vacation, and either go get it or have it delivered to you. It sounds like, Ryan, that you guys have expanded tremendously on what was already a good idea, and now you're in the right place at the right time. People are staying closer to home, and if somebody was thinking about trying this right now, I suspect there are probably one or two people listening to this broadcast who are saying, damn, that seems like a really good idea.
We have a link to Ryan's website at travelguysradio.com. It's what, outdoorsy? And spell that out for us, Ryan.
Sure thing. outdoorsy.com.
There you go.
Anything that we've missed, Ryan? Anything that you'd like to share with people? Or the one most important thing when a rookie goes to your website and starts looking around, how can we make people a little bit smarter outdoorsy travelers?
So I think the main thing is that you can actually do this, get out there, and hit the road in an RV. You don't have to have special licenses. You don't have to have a ton of experience driving them. These things really are more approachable than I think they seem on the surface. And that's one of the most exciting things about the site, is that we get to introduce so many new people to this great way to travel. And you get to do so with your own bathroom, your own kitchen, and hit some of those national parks and state parks that are opening up now. It's a really great thing to do.
There you go. And it's all clean and safe. And if you get one of the big RVs that you drive, it comes with a DVD of Robin Williams and the movie RV to get you really pumped up, right?
I am definitely having mine delivered. That might be the greatest idea since Scotch tape. You just have you drive up to the campground. The RV is delivered. You use it for a few days and then you drive away and somebody else comes and gets it. Ryan, thank you so much for your time. Again, a link to their website at travelguysradio.com. And good luck, my friend. Hang on. I'm glad that your business is booming. You know, it's always been said that no matter what happens, it's always good for somebody and bad for somebody else. So yours is one of the virus success stories. So let's hope that it continues. Good luck, my friend.
Thanks so much. Great to talk to you both.
Well, there you go. Ryan Quinn, outdoorsy. Link at travelguysradio.com.
It's really congratulations to those guys. I mean, when he was first on the show a few years ago, and I thought, God, Ryan, what have you gotten yourself into? But look, you know, talking about being in the right place at the right time, now everybody's talking about a road trip. And this whole concept that they can take the RV or the camper, whatever it is that you're renting, and deliver it for you, and then you can just go there and use it and drive away. That's just amazing.
You know, I was thinking about that, and I was looking at the website, and of course I was looking for RVs and trailers that would be in our area. And then when Ryan mentioned that, you know, you can have your trailer actually delivered to your campsite, and then I realized that this is so much bigger. I mean, if you're going to Colorado or any place in the country, you don't call your local, you don't look in your local group of RVs and trailers. You look at the ones in that area, Colorado, or anywhere near where you want to go. That's where you pick it. It's a short distance from there to the campsite that you're going to go visit. Boy, this really is this should be very successful for him moving
forward. These guys have figured it all out. They've got a couple of entrepreneurial type people and a couple of geeky computer guys. Ryan would be one of those geeky computer guys. And, you know, the guys who wrote the thing and said, you know, yeah, we can make it all work. And then the people who can sell it to the public. So anyway, it's kind of cool and kind of interesting. You know, it's fun to know somebody on that sort of level. So we got one more segment to go here, and you captured, and this is really kind of cool, I think. Lots of people, lots of artists are writing new music and poetry and painting things and stuff that have to do with all of this stuff that's going on in our society right now. And you got a guy, original band member from Chicago.
Right. You know, my friend Alan Rommelfinger, who handles the Trans-Siberian Orchestra promotions, and Alan has sent me a couple of others that had created songs that were kind of spawned out of the corona and the pandemic and so forth. But when he sent me this one and I heard it for the first time, you know, the opportunity to get the songwriter and talk about this on the air was a must.
Well,
so joining us in, yes.
Yeah, and the people, when you listen, when you hear this, in the middle of your interview, you play a good portion of the song. When the song starts, if you're a Chicago fan, a fan of the band Chicago, when the sound start, when the music starts, you will know within 3 seconds that it was written by the same guy that wrote a bunch of the Chicago tunes. I won't give away what it is that tells you that, but if you're a Chicago fan, listen in the middle of Tom's interview, and you'll pick up right away where what the heritage of that particular song is.
That's next here on The Travel Guys. Hey there, my friends. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and it's time to put on our entertainment hat. You know, composers from the beginning of time have been inspired by love, heartbreak, social issues, and now we've got something new, and that's the pandemic. Our special guest today is none other than the man who wrote or co-wrote several huge hits with the legendary band Chicago, my buddy Robert Lamb. Robert is one of the founding members, keyboard, vocalist, and composer. You know a song, Saturday in the Park. Does anybody really know what time it is? 24 or 6 to 4, Beginnings, and many, many more. His newest creation, co-written with Jim Peterick. His new song is called Everything Is Gonna Work Out Fine. Robert, welcome to the Travel Guys. Before we play a bit of the song and get people all jazzed about wanting to have this, when did you and when and how did this come about?
Well, it's the genesis of the song is kind of strange in that Jim Peterick and his band, The Eyes of March and Survivor and Chicago, have been traveling the rock and roll trail together. Chicago had just started the tour this year, the 2020 tour, which, by the way, had got canceled.
Yeah.
But I sent him this song, and he came back to me and said, "Hey, I love this. Give me a couple of days. Let me work on it, and we'll see where it goes." We've since written some other songs, but this one song kind of emerged way before the word pandemic, because in February, it was really just a rumor of a virus that was beginning to make its way around the world. So Jim sort of intuited that this might be something that people would have some anxiety about. So he basically wrote a song of hope, a song of good vibes, a song of everything will be okay in the end, which I think is a good way to deal with what turned out to be a very, very scary situation.
Well, let's do this. Let's talk some more about the song, but I think if we bring people in by giving them a chance to hear it, it'll make more sense. So with that being said,
sure.
Let's take a listen.
Sure. Just know that life's a gift.
Well, there you go. My special guest here on the Travel Guys, Robert Lamb. Robert's with Chicago. His newest release, Everything Is Going to Work Out Fine. Very inspirational song in these times. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com. Links to the video on YouTube. The song, you can find it there. Thanks for joining me, Robert.
My pleasure. Great to speak with you. Be well.
Well, it doesn't get much better than that. I know, Chicago has such a unique sound, and Robert and his friend Jim, they really captured it there. A lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And the part I was talking about was that little horn thing at the beginning, you know, because all the Chicago tunes have that little horn thing at the riff at the beginning of, you know, like some groups are famous for their guitar lick or, you know, whatever kind of signature. But as soon as you hear that, it's like, well, every Chicago song starts that way. So anyway, congratulations. That was not only was it a good catch, but it was a great song. I have a story here that I've saved for a couple weeks that I want to share in our last minute and a half here. People who live around town will remember there once was a chain of restaurants around town, coffee shops called Sambo's. And there were quite a few of them in Sacramento. There were, oh gosh, 1,000 of them all over the western part of the country. They promoted themselves by using something that we wouldn't consider to be appropriate today, especially in these particular times that are going on, by using the parts of the names of the two guys who founded it. Sam was one guy. Sam went on to become the original owner of the Utah Jazz, by the way, basketball team, New Orleans Jazz, they were called. So Sam, part of his restaurant, and then his partner, Newell Bo Bonnert, and so they used Bo. So it was Sambo, and it just evolved from there. There's only one Sambo's left. It was in Santa Barbara, the original Sambo's, which is owned, ironically, by the grandson of one of the original founders. And when all this stuff started to happen a few weeks ago, they had thought about it for a long time. They decided that finally it was time to change the name of the restaurant. It's now called Peace and Love, and they still have the famous Sambo's sign. You'll know what I'm talking about if you go there. So anyways, Sambo's restaurants have moved on, but the original Sambo's is still in Santa Barbara under a different name.
Well, all right. That wraps up the Travel Guys. We'll see you next time. Final words, Mark.
Final words. Dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.